We good now? All right. I'm thankful that God is still good no matter what's going on in my life. Sometimes it's hard to feel that God is good, but that's why we spend this time preparing for when things go south in our life. You know, if we don't have the foundation of knowing that God's good even in the bad times, then when the bad times come, we begin to question that. And even though we may have that foundation when the bad times come, we may have a feeling on the inside, or we may be like, I don't know why I'm going through this, but somewhere down inside of us, the Holy Spirit begins to work and minister unto us, and we can know that even in the bad times, that God is still good. I think I have scared the choir and the special singing and everything by all the singing that we've done the last couple of Sundays, so we don't have any special singing this morning. You never know, I may put together some singing here in just a minute. You just never know what'll happen. But for the time being, take your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to spend most of our time in Ephesians 3 this morning, a little different style of preaching maybe than what I normally do. I don't know what my style is. I try to go with my style being whatever God wants for today. That's exactly what I try to do, and I'm going to continue to try to do that. But as we get into Ephesians chapter number 3 this morning, I want us to look ahead, maybe look back, maybe look sideways, but however you need to look. And I want us to look in our lives and to look at our church this morning. And I want us to look and see if we can allow God to do some things in our lives personally that will help us as a church corporately. If we'll allow God to do some things in our lives individually that'll help us as a church as a whole, that we may be what God wants us to be, that we may be a place where sinners come in, they feel the presence of God, and they become Christians here. To where we as Christians, when we're struggling, that we come in here and we find help from God. When we're having success in our Christian life, that we come in here and we worship and we honor God. Even in the failures, we should do that also. But no matter what we need, that when we come into this place, that it is not a habit, it's not a routine, it's not anything like that, but we're here for whatever God wants us to have in the time that we have together here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, or whenever we meet together. So if we'll bow your heads and pray with me, and I ask you to pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I know that there is nothing about me that's worthy to stand here and try to preach this message this morning. The only thing that makes me worthy is the presence of your Son and your Holy Spirit on the inside of my life, God. And I want to thank you that you love me that much. God, I pray for this service today, God. Thank you for the good spirit that we've already felt in the singing. Thank you for preparing our hearts for your word. And God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your word, that we will open our minds, open our hearts, and God, that we'll listen for you to speak to us. And God, may we leave here closer than we were when we came. And most of all, I pray for there's one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I want to thank you for my family here at Fellowship. God, I pray that you'll bless them. God, I pray that you'll help them in every situation in their life and every aspect of their life, God. And may we always give you glory. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, don't take us very long to realize who is writing here in the book of Ephesians. The Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul." Now, for some reason, as I was studying this week, and you go back and you look, that there are actually people who will say that Paul didn't write this. What the world? Man, if people don't want to believe God's word, they can say whatever they want to. But anyway, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." As we look at this scripture this morning, I want you to realize that Paul has become the disciple unto the Gentiles. That Paul is the one reaching out to the Gentiles because the Messiah was promised unto the Jews. We're going to get into that here in just a few minutes. But Paul is saying, I'm writing to you and I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And you could reword that to say, I'm a prisoner because of Jesus Christ. Paul has been put into prison, and he is in prison praying for and writing these letters for the church of Ephesus and other places that he has established. And he's doing this while he's in prison, and he's saying, I'm a prisoner because of Christ. Would we be willing this morning to be a prisoner because of Christ? Or are we just satisfied in our relationship with Christ because we have padded pews to come sit on, we have air-conditioned spaces or heated spaces to come worship, or would we be willing to be like Paul and be a prisoner because of Jesus Christ? Let's continue reading. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, let's get to this part, this mystery of Christ. As you look at this, Paul is saying, I'm revealing a secret unto you. I'm getting ready to tell you a secret that God has kept. And that God is, you know, in the Old Testament, the prophets, they were always telling of a Messiah. They're always telling of a deliverer that were coming to the Jews, or that was coming to the Jews. Never was it mentioned for the Gentiles. And they're saying, now there was a mystery or there was a secret. And you say, well, God don't keep secrets. Sure he does. There's still a secret. The Bible tells me the eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what he has in store for us in heaven. There's still a secret for us today as Christians. So here Paul is revealing a secret unto the Gentiles, because I want to show you something, or actually I'm just going to tell you because we don't have time to turn. But you can go back in the Bible and you can see foreshadowing and you can see prophecy showing that Jesus Christ was going to be given for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. And as Paul is preaching here and he is praying and writing these letters, he's saying, I want to show you a mystery, something that's not been revealed to you yet. I want to give you something that has been kept secret. Verse number 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Listen to this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And when we read this, I want you to realize that we are the Gentile people. Verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than all the saints, let me read that one more time because I left out an important word. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is the grace given that I should preach among Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice something here in verse number 9. It says, which from the beginning. So this existed in the beginning. The fact that Jesus Christ was given for you and I was given in the beginning. But look, it says it was hid. From the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, whereof I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be troubled by my tribulations. I know I'm in jail and I'm coming to you in as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but don't let that trouble you, because it is for your glory. Verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This morning I want us to look for just a minute. We've done all of that reading, but I wanted you to look at the mystery that was revealed unto the Gentiles, because it is going to play a real important part in the message this morning. This morning we've done all of that reading to get to the last verse. You know me, sometimes I have to run a few rabbits to get to where I want to go. But as we get into verse number 20, I want us to look at what verse number 20 says. Verse number 21, it says, unto him be glory. This morning I want us to look at how and why we should give God glory. I want us to look this morning, you know, we say a whole lot of times, to God be the glory, or that God would get all of the glory. And as we look at that and as we say that, I wonder if we truly understand how and why we should give God all the glory. I wonder if we truly understand what we're saying, because we have to be really careful in our human nature that we don't take credit for things that we had nothing to do with. We have to be really careful in our own human nature that when we see someone who maybe in our minds does not measure up to what we are or who we are, that all of a sudden we don't begin to get puffed up, that we don't begin, and I don't mean that as being mad, I mean as being swelled up, that I have done something. I am somebody, because I want to tell you this morning, without Jesus Christ, I am nobody. Without Jesus Christ, you are nobody. You may not like that, but I want to tell you this morning that God deserves all of the glory. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, I want us to look at a couple of reasons why God should get all the glory. In order to do that, we got to understand what glory is. So this morning, at random, I text some people. I just happened to have their phone number in my phone, and I text some random people, and I said, what is glory? When you think of glory, what is the first thing that comes to mind? So this was some of the answers that I had. The presence of God, heaven, praising God, giving him glory. God is good, glory to God, praise. Victory given to us on the cross. Bring glory to his name, praise him, give him honor. Unapologetic worship, hallelujah to the Lamb. These are all things that people said that were given to them or the first thought that come into their mind. And what I want us to look at this morning is in 2018, I feel that we as a church, that God has built us, that God has strengthened us, that God is preparing us, that God wants to use us. And I think in 2019, one of our main focuses, one of our most, the biggest objective that we should have, because I want to tell you all of the other objectives that we have will fall under this if we'll do this, but in 2019, I think that we need to be absolutely sure. We need to be absolutely 100% positive that Jesus Christ, that God is getting all of the glory for anything that happens here. That God is going to get all the glory for anything that happens in your life. That God is going to get all of the glory for anyone that gets saved here in this church. For any Christian that walks closer to God. For anything that happens in our teen group. No matter what happens, God deserves all of the glory. That God deserves all of the worship. And he deserves all of the praise. And if we'll do that and we'll give him all of the glory, then I want to tell you some other things will start to fall into place. Church, if we give him the glory that he deserves, we'll love each other like God tells us to love each other. If we'll give him the glory that he deserves, we'll love lost sinners the way that God tells us to love lost sinners. If we'll give him all of the glory that he deserves, when Danny hurts my feelings, I'll forgive him before he ever asks for forgiveness. If we'll give him all of the glory, then we'll be in tune with God. We'll know when to speak, when to hush. We'll know when to listen. We'll know when to comfort. If we do all of those things, if we'll give God glory, all of those things will fall into place. Some other words that was used by my Bible app that I use: splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellence, dignity, grace, and majesty. If we'll give God the glory that he deserves, do you understand and do I understand that his glory will fall on this place? People will drive by this place and feel the presence of God from the highway. People will hear of this place at your workplace, at my workplace, and they'll know that God's glory has fallen on this place. And no, that does not mean that we have to get all charismatic. Hey, it may drive us into a place of worship. It may drive us into a place of thankfulness. But it does not mean that we have to be doing anything crazy. It don't mean that we have to have rock and roll bands. It doesn't mean any of that. The only thing that that means is we're going to give God glory, and he's going to honor his word and allow his glory to fall here. Let's get into where we're going this morning. First of all, we got to realize that we are not worthy of the grace of God. Look what Paul says in verse number 8. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Now, Paul, we know that at one time was Saul, and that he was persecuting Christians, that he was actually the one that held the coats for the men when they stoned Stephen. We know that. And then God changed his life there on the Damascus Road. And then after that, he became the disciple to the Gentiles. And God is doing an amazing work in his life. And yet he says, but I am less than the least of all saints. And yet somehow we sometimes can do a little something for God. And man, there is nothing wrong with asking God to help you and giving God glory in your life for allowing you to do something. But we can do just a little something. We can lead someone to Christ. We can tell somebody about Christ. We can get up here and sing a song about Christ, and all of a sudden, we're like, look what I've done. Well, I want to tell you something. For all the good that I have done, there's equally or abundantly more bad that I have done. I am not deserving of the grace of God. There is, and you say, well, preacher, I don't hear a whole lot of glory in that. Well, hang on, we're going to get there. We have got to realize that we are not worthy of the grace of God, that we was not born with the right to salvation, that we haven't been given enough, that we have not been able to give enough to the church to be good enough for salvation and for grace. We haven't been good enough. We have not been rich enough, and we are definitely just not worthy of the grace of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God has given us a gift through Jesus Christ. God has given us a gift of grace for the ones of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, I'm not trying to beat you down or beat you up or try to make you feel sorry for yourselves or think what a terrible person you are, but I want to ask you this morning, or maybe I want to inform us this morning, that I don't care who you are, what you've done, you are not worthy of the grace of God. Billy Graham is not worthy of the grace of God. Paul was not worthy of the grace of God, even though he may think that he is. Lynn is not worthy of the grace of God. Lynn likes to make fun of everybody else, but Lynn's perfect. Y'all just got to get to know Lynn. But no, none of us here. It doesn't matter what kind of heart you have. It doesn't matter how much good you do for someone else. Listen to me. And if I have any volunteers on this, we'll work on it. I think I have used this example before, but we was with our church youth group before, not here, but at our previous church, long time ago. We were somewhere, and we were having a good time. We were cutting up and laughing, and I won't even go into the details because I still don't want this to come back to bite me. But we were somewhere, and I said something about someone that I should not have said. It was one of those just smirky comments. It was, here's what we like to say, but it was true, but it was still something that I should have kept my mouth shut, and I had should have just, and after it was all said and done, somebody come back to me and said, hey, have you seen the video that they have taken while we were at this place? It was video. And I said, I hope that what I said is not on that video, and I hope the people that I said it about hasn't heard it. And you know, if you have to have that gut feeling when you hear that, you should have never said it to begin with. Okay, so listen, we're talking about being good. I'm a good person. But when I said that, it was like God spoke to me instantly and said, what about your life? You go to church on Sunday mornings and you wear your dress pants, you wear your tie, you tuck your good old King James Bible up under your arm, and boy, man, you go in there and you're good. But what if I took your life, your thoughts, your actions, your words for a solid month, and let's just play the movie at church in front of everybody. Let's just let them see everything about you. Now, how good are you? I am not worthy of the grace of God. I've been saved since I was 7 years old, and y'all have heard my story and my testimony of how God kept me away from a lot of things that this world has to offer, but that does not matter. When I look at my life, God knows that I'm wretched. God knows that I'm sinful. God knows that I'm not worthy of His grace, and yet He loved me so much that He allowed me to become one of His children. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're one of the ones that stepped up and said, I teach a Sunday school class here. You're not worthy of the grace of God. If you're here and you're a deacon here, you're not worthy of the grace of God. Me as the pastor here this morning, I am not worthy of the grace of God. Well, glory. Anybody got it yet? No, I ain't got it yet. So let's get to the next point. We have to realize that we are not worthy of the grace of God. Paul realized that he was not worthy of the grace of God. But I want you to look at that number two. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 15. Of whom the whole family, let's back up one verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Once I realize that I'm not worthy of the grace of God, once I realize that I have not done enough, I couldn't be good enough, that there's nothing about me that is worthy of the grace of God, I want to show you where just a little bit of glory can come in. When I realize that I'm not worthy of the grace of God, that ever since I was 7 years old and I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, that God no longer sees my unworthiness. As I stand here before you this morning, and I have told you that I'm not worthy of the grace of God. Y'all know that I'm not worthy of the grace of God. Some of you that spend a lot of time with me, you may have seen me slip up. You may have seen me in a place where you'd say, I know you're not worthy of the grace of God. But I want to tell you, as I stand before God this morning, and as you sit here before God this morning, God doesn't see your unworthiness anymore. God does not see your wretchedness. God does not see that, but yet he sees the blood of his darling son applied to your life. Now, I want to tell you, we're getting into the glory part here. Y'all go ahead and wake up with me now. We're going to get to the place here in just a minute, because you are so unworthy of the grace of God, but yet God don't see your unworthiness. He sees someone that he loves so much that he gave his only begotten son for. He sees someone that he loves so much, and one day you got on your knees somewhere or the other, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. All he sees is that you're one of his children. I'm glad that God does not see my unworthiness, that God does not see me as trash. God does not see me as someone who don't deserve a relationship with him. But he says, because you have done what I've asked you to do and accepted my son as your Savior, you are now worthy. You are now clean. You are now one of my children. Ephesians 3, verse number 6. Let's go back to this. That the Gentiles, listen to this, should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. If we'll realize that we're not worthy of what God done for us, it'll mean a whole lot more of what God done for us. You know, we go to work, and we work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, whatever you happen to do. When that check comes in the mail, we feel like we deserve it. We feel like, well, some of you probably have to back up and get your check because you don't do a whole lot and get paid. But when that check comes in the mail, we go, I deserve that. I have worked for that. I traded some of my life for that money. I deserve that. But I want to tell you, when you look at what God's done for you, there is no possible way in the world that you can look and say, I deserve that. There is no possible way under heaven that you could say, I deserve the blessings that God's given me. There's no way that I could say that I deserve for Christ to love me enough to give his life for me. Can I tell you what I deserve this morning? I deserve my place in hell. Is exactly. Well, preacher, you've been saved since you were 7 years old, and you said you didn't do X, Y, and Z. No, sir. No, ma'am, I sure didn't. But I want to tell you something. That sin enters my... The Bible tells us that my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. There's none good, no, not one. And I don't deserve the grace of God. I'm not worthy of the grace of God. And if I can't find anything else to give him glory for, some of you may be sitting here this morning and you may be looking back at 2018 and you may be looking and saying, well, preacher, you don't know what I went through. You don't know how hard things were. You don't know how hard things are right now in my life. You don't understand what's going on. Well, I want to tell you something. If we can get our eyes off of that for just a second, if we can get our eyes off the circumstance that we're in the middle of right now, and we can get our eyes on how unworthy we are and what God did for us, and how that God no longer sees us as unworthy, we can give him some glory. We can give him some praise. We can give him some honor and some worship. We've got to understand that we're not worthy of the grace of God. We've got to understand that God does not see our unworthiness. See, as this promise was given for the Jews, this promise of a deliverer of our Messiah was given to the Jews, and the Gentiles was unworthy. And now Paul is saying, but now I want to reveal it to you. I want to tell you this secret, that now you can be equal, that now you can be part of the family. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're sitting here unworthy. But by the time you leave here, you can be looking and acting and just on the evil playing field with everything else, with everyone else here. Not an evil playing field, but an even playing field. You can be... Look, the Bible tells me that I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That I am a child of God. Listen to what it did for us. Let's go back here. Where am I at here? Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And if you go back to verse number 12 in Ephesians chapter number 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. He does not see us as worthy, as unworthy. He sees us as, come to me. Come to me. Now look, if I tried to go talk to President Trump this morning, I got a couple Bible verses I'd like to read him, by the way. But if I went and tried to talk to President Trump this morning, I would be turned away very quickly. I would probably be in prison before long. Not saying whether I'm for or against. I'm just saying because I'm a nobody, and if I went to the White House to talk to President Trump, it wouldn't be very long. I would be turned away. I'm not worthy of that. Whatever. But God, who made everything, who spoke this world into its very existence, says, you're worthy. Come talk to me. It's open door. Open door policy. You come on with boldness. He says you come with boldness and you have access with confidence. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Look, let's move on. We'll finish up right here. If we will understand that we're not worthy of the grace of God and understand that God does no longer see us as unworthy, then we'll be able to give him glory. One more thing that I believe if we'll be able to see that we can give God glory. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16 through verse number 21. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now look, it doesn't say that he's going to give you the riches of his glory. Because I don't care how rich you are, if you begin to divvy it out, sooner or later there's an end to it. But it says there is according to his riches. His riches never ever run out. He can give it to you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Listen, that you be rooted and grounded in love. If we want to give God glory, love has got to be the absolute forerunner of that. Look, he says that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Listen, what is the breadth, the length, depth, and height of what? And to know the love of Christ. If we could ever understand how much Jesus Christ really does love us. If we could understand the love of Christ. See, you know, God could have allowed us just to continue trying to be morally good enough, to be righteous enough to enter back into his presence, and it would have never happened. But yet Christ loved us so much, he said, I'm willing to go and lay my life down. And you say, well, preacher, that's all just holy stuff, and we read it in the Bible. No, this is for real, for real, for real stuff. That Jesus Christ loved you so much that he allowed them to take his life, that he allowed them to spit in his face, to pluck his beard out of his face, to beat him, to drive nails into his hands and his feet. That's love. That's love that we can't comprehend, and that's what he's saying. If you could ever just understand the height, the depth, the breadth of Christ's love for us, we would give him glory. We might actually become a little bit charismatic around here if we ever understood the love of Christ. And I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying we wouldn't be able to contain it. We would not be able to contain ourselves if we really understood how much Christ loved us. And I understand life's hard. Situations are hard. Mine is too. If y'all think I just go home every day, and I got a little room back there in the back, and I go in and Autumn shuts a little curtain behind me, and she says, honey, whenever you get done communing with the Lord, you just come on out. And I go in there and I light me some incense and I light me a candle and I get the word of God out, and man, me and God, we just commune and we just have an awesome time. That would be wonderful. But my life's not like that. I come in, and it's, you forgot the trash again today. It's sitting, I was told this just yesterday. If I don't get those bags out of the can and tie them up and set them out in the garage, you don't take the trash out. Lord, glory, Lord, glory, I feel your presence. And then I walk in, and I got two little girls saying, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Yes, honey. Yes, what are you? I need help with homework. I want to do this. I want to do that. Can we do this? Can I? Yes, honey. We can do all that. And I got my phone going off, and people were talking about plumbing. People were talking about church. My life is just, woo, yeah, it's haywire. But somewhere in the middle of all that, if I'll stop and remember that it's haywire and it's crazy, and let me just go ahead and say this while I'm there, that my life is that crazy because that's the life I have chosen to live. So if your life is crazy, blame it on yourself. You've made those choices. Amen? Yeah, we don't like it. I've chose to let my kids play sports. I've chose to do some of the things I've done. So that's the reason my life is that crazy. But in the middle of all of that, if I'll stop for just a minute, and it's hard to stop when I'm there at 9:30 at night and I'm doing math homework. I didn't like doing my homework when I was in school. I done it at school, so I didn't have to do it at home. But now I'm doing math homework. I'm studying words for flashcards and all this kind of stuff. I don't care what the difference is between a pond and a lake. I know they're both got water and fish in it. That's all that matters to me. But I'm studying this stuff again. And I've got one that if she don't make 100 on the test, she might as well failed it. So we got to study every blame night. It's terrible. Awful. And I've got one that she's doing her math. Daddy, I need some help with my math. Daddy, I need some help with my math. Okay, honey, let's do math. But how many problems you got? Just a couple. Well, just a couple ends up being about 12 that she didn't do. So we got to do about 12 problems. We're up to about 10 o'clock. And when I get done, I don't feel like saying, glory to God, I love you so much. I go in there and I tell Autumn, I'm sick of doing homework. I'm sick of doing this. I'm sick of doing that. I don't know what. But if I stop in the middle of all that and go, you know what? My kids are blessings from God. My wife is a blessing from God. If I stop in just a minute and say, God, you've given me so many blessings, and here I am complaining about my blessings, God, please don't take my blessings away from me so I'll stop complaining. God, you love me so much that in the middle of all of this, if I'll understand just a minute how much Jesus Christ loved me, and I'm sure there were times that he looked at me and he says, I don't want to do your work. I don't want to do what you actually have, you have caused. But yet I'm going to go and I'm going to lay my life down on a cross because I love you so much. And not only that, I want you to know that since the day that I was 7 and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, he has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has always been with me. He has taken care of me when I was fallen, when I was sin sick, even when I was saved and I was walking away from God, that he was still there. He didn't leave me. He didn't save me and just say, here, go on your own. But he said, I love you so much. I'm going to hang in there with you. I'm going to be with you. Me and you, we're friends. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always been there for me. Thank God for the love of Christ on my life. I can give him glory. Amen. This morning, if we'll get to the place, listen, let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm going to finish up. Hannah, if you will, come on. Let's get an invitational home. I'm going to go home here in just a minute, I believe. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 21. Unto him be glory, listen, unto him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. You know where that's got to start at? Individually, with every single one of us, giving him glory in our own lives. If I will give him glory with my life and realize that I'm unworthy, but he no longer sees me as unworthy. And man, he loves me beyond my comprehension. I can give him glory no matter what's going on in my life. And if I come in and I give him glory, can I just tell you that praising God and worshiping God is contagious? So is mouthing, murmuring, and throwing off. It's all contagious. And if I come into church and I can either be one of two ways. I got church again today. Preacher's going to get up there, and I don't know why I can't say words this morning, but I can't say words this morning. He's going to mess up and stutter and stammer, and choir probably going to sing them same old songs they always sing. Or we can either come in here and say, you know what, no matter what the message is, no matter what the singing is, God, you love me so much. Jesus Christ, you love me so much. I'm here to give you glory. And I hope I rub off on the person beside of me. We may get to the place that we give God so much glory here. And you know what? God wants us. God is wanting to use us. He has blessed us. He has brought us to this place for a reason. God is wanting to use us. But if we get to where we give him that kind of glory and his glory falls on this place, there is no telling what might happen at Fellowship Baptist Church. Scotty Perdue might smile in the middle of a service one day. You never know what might happen in God's house. More so than that, your loved one that you're praying for, my loved one that I'm praying for, when they see you in the middle of everything still giving glory to God, when they hear of the other people at church going through bad things and still yet they're giving glory to God, when we're still giving God glory and God's glory is falling on this place, that might be exactly what brings them here and gets them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without world. Excuse me, all ages, world without end. Amen. If you will, stand to your feet this morning. Here in just a moment, Hannah's going to sing. I don't know your need. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're the only person here that I know your need. You need to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is first and foremost. You can't give Him glory until you get there. But maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved. You're part of this church. Listen, I know this is, we're a large number, and this is a small space for that. But could I just ask you as a church, let's come and agree together that no matter what we go through, no matter what we do, no matter what happens, everything that's done here, we're going to give God the glory. And you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Let's come and pray and ask God to use us. Let's come and pray and ask God to help us to keep our sinful ways out of the way. Us and our wanting to pick ourselves up out of here and out of this mess. And let's give God glory for everything that happens here. Or maybe you individually need to come and ask God to help you to give Him glory with your life. As she sings, this altar is open.